2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. We looked at the first 10 verses last week. We talked about the idea that our earthly dwelling is like a tent, Paul says. It's something that's falling apart, it's wearing out, but we look forward to something better. We look forward to a day that we put on a better dwelling, that we dwell in the presence of the Lord in a building, it says. We're moving from a tent to a building, something that's being destroyed to something that's indestructible, so to speak, something that's eternal. And so Paul says, look, this is what keeps me going. This is my focus. This is my motivation to know that even though this old body's being wore out, I'm going to keep doing the work of the Lord until I go to be with the Lord. And then he closed in the last verse that we looked at last week with this idea that we would all one day stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and to determine whether the works we have done and the words we have spoken, if they are good or if they are worthless, if they are good or if they are bad. And so tonight we will continue on with that idea in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Let's pray and then we'll start. God, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us to grow in your word, dear Lord, that we would follow Paul's example, God, that we would have a focus that is beyond the things that we see in this world, but that our faith would just strengthen us to continue to serve you, even if we don't see things the way that we want to see them, dear Lord, even if they don't always make sense, even if life is sometimes difficult, dear Lord, I pray that we would trust you in everything that we do, and I pray that we'd be faithful to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us tonight and just guide me in the words to say and help us all to hear your words. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Amen. Verse 11. Therefore, now keep in mind, therefore he just talked about standing before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in body, whether good or worthless. Therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, we seek to persuade people. We are completely open before God, and I hope we are completely open to your conscience as well. So with this in mind, the fact that one day we will all have to stand before God, Paul says, this is my motivation. We know the fear of the Lord. We know what it's going to be like to stand before the Lord in judgment. And so we want to make sure that we are serving the Lord and living in obedience to Him. But not only ourselves, we want to make sure that we're doing the work so that others will hear, so that they will know that the things that we do and the things that we say and the things that we think, the things that are in our heart, one day will come to light. One day we will have to stand before the Lord. And that should strike some fear into us. It does Paul here. He says, we know the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Proverbs tells us. And so Paul recognizes that. Hey, it's a serious thing that we need to consider, that our actions are going to have consequences, that one day we'll have to answer to God for what we do. And so he says, we seek to persuade people. That is, to persuade people to follow Jesus Christ, to persuade people to repent of their sins, to follow God, to live in obedience to Him. He says, we are completely open before God, and I hope we are completely open to your consciences as well. I think what he's saying there is, look, God sees everything that we're doing. He knows that we're doing what is good. And we hope that you guys see that what we're doing is good. It's the work of God, that you would listen to us. You may remember early in the book, or throughout the book, really, up to these first few chapters, Paul seems like he's kind of trying to make a defense for himself, that there are some others that are teaching, and that some of the other teachings and some of the other people may be questioning Paul and those who are with him and their teachings. And Paul is saying, look, we've done the Lord's work. You can look at the way we've been living, the way we've been treating you, the things that we've been saying. This is from the Lord. The Lord sees that what we're saying is good. He approves of that. And we hope that in your conscience, that you too, if you just think about it, that you'll know, that you'll realize, that you'll understand that the words that we are saying are of the Lord. And so pay attention to those who are teaching, I think Paul is saying. Look at their life. Look at what they're teaching. and pray to the Lord and let the Lord help you to be able to discern what is good and what is not good. And I think what Paul says here, look, we're doing the Lord's work, and so let your conscience be your guide to decide whether or not we are really of the Lord or not. And of course, Paul and those who were with him were certainly doing the Lord's work. He says in verse 12, "We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us." Now, we have this idea of Paul commending himself, talking about a letter of recommendation. We saw that earlier in the book, that he shouldn't need a letter of recommendation. He shouldn't have to write a letter of recommendation, that the people of Corinth have seen his work. They've seen his heart. They've seen his love for God. They've seen his devotion and the beatings and the suffering that he's gone through to do the Lord's work. And that should speak for itself. He shouldn't have to go back before these people and say, "Oh, y'all, listen to me." What he's saying is, look, y'all have seen the way that I have lived my life. And here he's not bragging. He's not trying to draw attention to himself. And he says that we are not commending ourselves to you again, but he's making a point. He's doing this for a purpose. And he says, "But giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you may have a reply for those who take pride in the outward appearance rather than in the heart." And so it appears as though there are some who are there, and in whatever ways they are much more appealing to people. Maybe they look better, maybe they speak more eloquently. And maybe Paul is kind of looked down upon because maybe he's always being imprisoned and he's always being beaten and probably not much to look at. And some people have written Paul off. But he says, look, I'm telling you these things. I'm talking in this way so that you can know that you can be proud of me, that you can be proud of us, that we have done the Lord's work. Because there are some among you who are going to try to attack us and who are going to come against you and going to come against us and say, "Well, you're not following Paul, are you? Look at this other teacher over there. Look at how much better they speak, or look at how much better they look, or how much better they're dressed, or whatever the thing was that was going on." Paul says, look, I want you to look at the work we do so you'll have something to be proud of, so that you'll have an opportunity to refute what they say. And what he says is that, have a reply for those who take pride in the outward appearance rather than in the heart. And so there are certainly people that can look apart, but what really matters is our heart. The same is true for us too. Now, we can look apart. We can try to look like Christians, and we can say all the cool church words, and we can say all the Christian-y stuff, and we can go to church, but the outward appearance is not what matters. It's what's in the heart that matters. Now, these other teachers that may have been around in Corinth, they may have had a good appearance. They may could have drew a crowd, and they may could have spoken some good words, but their heart was not right. We see the same idea when we see David being anointed as king, and Samuel's supposed to go and pick one of Jesse's sons, and the first one he picks is the best looking, the tallest, the strongest, the best looking. And Samuel says, this has got to be the guy. But what we see in that scripture is God does not look at outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And that's what Paul is trying to get his audience to see here. Look, don't write us off just because we might not be as good in some ways as these other teachers. But look at the heart of what we've been doing and the way that we have been serving God. That's what really matters more than anything else, more than how we look or any of those kind of things, is what does our heart look like? Verse 13, "For if we are out of our mind, it is for God. If we have a sound mind, it is for you." Now, there's certainly lots of discussion that can be had on that verse. It may be translated a little different. Some of your translations may say, "If I'm beside myself," or something along those lines. But I think what Paul is saying is this: if we are out of our mind, was Paul out of his mind? Well, certainly not. But there certainly would have been some that probably thought Paul was out of his mind. He may have even got carried away sometimes. Sometimes preachers do that. They may get passionate about something they're talking about. There may even be some problems, and they really get excited and preach in a way that's pretty tough and pretty stern sometimes. And to many in the community, perhaps it looked like Paul was a madman. Maybe the other preachers were a lot more smooth talking and a lot more calm. And Paul comes in there and he's really preaching hard. And to some, it may have appeared that Paul was a madman. They may have even said, look, this dude is crazy. And so Paul says, for if we are out of our mind, if I'm crazy, if I'm mad, it's for God. If anybody says that Paul has gone crazy, then you just know that whatever I'm doing it for the Lord. And if they think I'm crazy, then so be it. I'm going to keep doing it because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it because this is what God has called me to do. So if some think he's crazy, if some think he's out of his mind, he says, so be it. I'm doing it for the Lord. But he says, if we have a sound mind, it is for you. And so it's in the eye of the beholder. There are some people who look at Paul and say, this dude is out of his mind. And they go on about their business. Paul says, I don't care. I'm still doing the Lord's work. But he says, if you're listening to what we're saying and that you think we have a sound mind, then that's good. Because the message that we're preaching, it's for you. So if you don't write us off as crazy, if you don't think we're crazy like the rest of them, then praise the Lord. Because we are persuaded to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And so you need to listen to us. And perhaps that's the same way that the same thing we experience in our world today. There are Christians that are looked down upon by the rest of the world as the message of Christianity and the cross and Jesus Christ is craziness. Well, so be it. All we can do is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some will accept it, some will reject it. Some will write us off as a bunch of crazy religious folks. They'll say, oh, there's no God, there's no such thing as Jesus. All that stuff's a bunch of junk. All of us are crazy for coming week after week. So be it. They think we're crazy. But we keep coming. Why? Because we know it's true. Because we trust in the Word of God. We know God is the creator of all things. We know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that there is no forgiveness of sins apart from Jesus Christ. And so we continue to serve the Lord, even if some think we're crazy. But there are others who are going to hear that gospel, who are going to see the love that we show to them in the community, and they're going to see that love of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be appealing to them. They don't think we're crazy, and praise the Lord. The message that we're preaching, the things that we do, the things that we talk about, all the things that we're trying to point them to in Jesus Christ, and then they're going to draw to those things. And that's what Paul says. Some will think we're crazy. So be it. We're going to serve God. But for those who seek and don't think we're crazy, then that's good news because the message that we preach is for them. Verse 14, for Christ's love compels us. Now that's a good verse right there. For Christ's love compels us. Now some of your translations may say controls us or something along those lines, but it's the love of Jesus Christ that forces them, that pushes them, as if they don't even have a choice. They've experienced the love of Jesus Christ, and it's changed their life in so much, they can't not tell people about Jesus. Now, that's the kind of transformation that we need to have. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with God. That's how we need to view Jesus Christ. We need to be so in love with Jesus that we cannot help but promote that love and share that love with other people. And so he says, for Christ's love compels us to do this work that they're doing. But the question we have to answer in our life is what compels us? What's compelling us today? What's driving us? Is it to follow Jesus Christ? Is it to follow the Word of God? Is it to tell other people about Jesus Christ? Is it to love other people and help other people? Is that what drives us? Is there something else in our life that drives us? Is there something else that we tend to gravitate toward and that kind of steers what we're going to do in our life? Well, for Paul, he says what compels him is the love of Jesus Christ. And that should be what compels us too. We should be compelled by love. Since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but the one who died for them and was raised. Okay, so here's the thought. We are compelled. The Christ love compels us. And therefore, we've reached this conclusion. Christ died for all, and we have died in Christ. And so a change occurs once we recognize that Jesus has died for us, and we put our faith in Him, and we repent of our sins, and He becomes the Lord of our life. There should be a change in our life. There cannot be two Lords in our life. There can only be one. Now, we have to decide what that Lord of our life is going to be. Maybe it's going to be Jesus Christ. Maybe He's going to be our Lord. But maybe our Lord's going to be our wealth. Or maybe our Lord's going to be our material things. Maybe our Lord's going to be our family. Or maybe our Lord's going to be our friends. Or maybe our Lord's going to be our job. I mean, it's a million things. But whoever our Lord is, or whatever our Lord is what's going to drive the decisions that we make in life. And so if money is our Lord, then every decision we make is going to be, how can I get more money? If material gain is our Lord, then everything we're going to do is going to be, how can I get more material gain? But if Jesus is our Lord, then we're going to say, how can I serve Jesus and love Him and tell others about Him so that they can experience His love? And so Paul says here, look, we are compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. We know that He died for us and that we died in Him when we chose Him, and we will be raised to life. And therefore, he says, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So who are we living for? That's a good question. Who are we living for? Now, it's hard as human beings because we're just selfish by birth. We just want for ourselves. We think about ourselves. Everything we do, we kind of live for ourselves. And that's a hard thing to allow someone else to be the Lord of our life. But if we are Christians, then that is the decision that we have made. We have acknowledged the authority of Jesus Christ, and we have made Him the Lord of our life. That is to say, we are going to follow what His commands are, not to live for ourselves. And that's a hard thing to do, because we want to live for ourselves. I suspect there's a lot of people who have not followed Jesus Christ for that reason. Because they read the words of Jesus and they don't want to follow Jesus. They don't want to do the things that Jesus said. They like to be the Lord of their own life. But Paul says it's not true of the Christian. Of the Christian, we don't live for ourselves. Once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who has died for us, that we have died to, then we live. We have a new life in Christ, and therefore we seek to live for Him. We no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So who are we living for? Maybe you're living for the Lord well today. Maybe you know you should be, but you're not. Maybe you never have. Maybe we've done a good job of playing the part. Maybe we've come to church a lot. Maybe we look like a Christian on the outside, but maybe we're some of those people that Paul is talking about, that our heart is not right. Maybe we fooled other people. Maybe we fooled ourselves. Maybe we realize tonight that we have not been living for the Lord, but we've been living for ourselves. Well, there's good news. Jesus died for you. He died for every one of us so that our sins could be forgiven. If we would only repent tonight and trust in Him, if we would only make Him the Lord of our life and say, God, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live for these other gods that I have put in my life, but I'm going to make Jesus Christ my Lord so that I can live for Him and serve Him. That needs to be our goal and our desire. If you've never trusted Jesus, you need to trust Him. If you are a follower of Jesus, then we need to make sure that He is the Lord of our life. Let's pray. God, we come to You, we thank You for these words, and I pray that You'd help us to wrestle with them, dear Lord, because maybe there are some things in our life that have taken the spot of where Jesus should be. Maybe we have made some other things in our life the Lord of our life. Maybe we've been trying to be the Lord of our own life. Maybe we've been selfish to do things our way. Maybe we are reluctant to hand over power, dear Lord, but that's what You call us to. To give everything to Jesus. God, to give our burdens and our sins and everything, dear Lord, and seek to follow His command, to follow His example. And so I pray that You would help us to do that tonight, that You would help us to know Jesus for those who may not, and that You would help us to follow Him as the Lord of our life. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.